You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There's a thing we started saying on this program maybe 5-6 years ago, before the last presidential election, for sure, that headlines about a strong economy are all well and good, but if people aren't feeling it in their daily lives, then it kind of doesn't matter. And I want to stress the people thing here, because that is where we start on this Monday. Those headlines, which are fundamentally about economic policies, right? Those headlines are made by people, as those policies are. And we learned some more today about the people who are going to be making economic policy in the Biden White House. Former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, as we have told you, is the pick for Treasury Secretary. Wally Adeyemo, a veteran of the Obama administration, is going to be nominated as Deputy Treasury Secretary. And the transition team also released the names of three people who will be on the President's Council of Economic Advisors today. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams takes it from there.
The name of the group may sound boring, I know, but who's on the Council of Economic Advisors matters a lot in terms of the policy coming out of the White House, says Jamin Speer, who teaches economics at the University of Memphis.
The Council of Economic Advisors is essentially the White House's own economic think tank. Or maybe you could say the academic arm of the White House.
The academic part of this crew coming in is Cecilia Rouse, who will lead the CEA. She served on the council under Obama and is a dean at Princeton. The other two members announced today come more from the think tank world. Jared Bernstein of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities and Heather Boucher of the Washington Center for Equitable Growth.
The choices signal that you're going to see maybe some more outside-the-box policy ideas. Ideas that academics might think are a little bit out of the mainstream.
Thinking differently about the role of Wall Street and big corporations, how much debt is tolerable to achieve social goals. Seema Jayachandran is an economics professor at Northwestern University. She says it's notable all three are labor economists.
I see this as really signaling that getting people back to work, those improvements in economic well-being for the poorest Americans and racial minorities is going to be a top priority.
Having this particular group at the table for economic decision-making will also change which ideas are brought to the table, says former Fed economist Claudia Somm, who also spent some time working at the CEA.
And so you'll see that in the type of analysis that the president and the White House gets. I truly believe that more diversity brings better economic policy.
If confirmed by the Senate, Rouse will be the first African-American woman to ever lead the CEA. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
A very quick entry in the What is Janet Yellen Thinking sweepstakes today from the nominee herself in her very first tweet. We face great challenges as a country right now, she said. To recover, we must restore the American dream, a society where each person can rise to their potential and dream even bigger for their children. I mean, yes, obviously to all of that, but that is way more than five words. I'm just saying. Okay, to corporate news now, the mergers and acquisitions desk. S&P Global, yes, that S&P of 500 index fame, has agreed to buy IHS Markit in an all-stock deal worth about $44 billion. Lots of ways to talk about this story. It's a big one. And we chose this, that these companies are two of the biggest data providers to Wall Street. We asked Marketplace's Andy Euler to explain what that's going to mean for traders and for the computers that they've got doing most of the work.
Trading on Wall Street these days is different from what it used to be even 15, 20 years ago.
It's my computers fighting against your computers.
That's PK Jain. He teaches finance and artificial intelligence trading at the University of Memphis. He says the task before portfolio managers is often to analyze corporate data coming from different sectors across many time zones.
And to put together that data historically from different vendors has been a challenge. So that challenge is less if you have fewer data vendors and those who are providing you with the raw material to process and analyze.
He says that's the good news, a more centralized data provider. Daniel Ives at Wedbush Securities explains there's also a downside.
In this increasing technology ecosystem, data's really become the gold for Wall Street.
He says S&P knows this.
They're doing it ultimately because it's going to centralize, give them more pricing power and something that they could charge more for.
Full disclosure, S&P is a marketplace underwriter. Ives says this merger means less competition for the data Wall Street needs, which has some wondering whether federal regulators will allow it.
I think two large companies should always be interested in explaining to regulators why this is not anti-competitive.
Michael Goldstein teaches finance at Babson College. He says there are other players out there, though.
They have a big competitor in Bloomberg, right? So it's not like there aren't other competitors for them. They all provide slightly different services, but I'm sure the regulators will look increasingly closely at that.
He says S&P and IHS Markit may argue that companies are complementary businesses, so having the services under one roof is good for efficiency. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.